Calling It Out with Tim Black. The whole world's so sad. We live it so bad because we don't get who we stab. Try and get that bag. Facts. Facts. These facts.
Calling It Out with Tim Black. Facts. Facts.
It won't tell the truth.
These are facts.
Check your bank account, baby. That's your proof. They so aloof, they living so elite. They don't give up by the street. But them babies, they got to eat.
Real talk.
Put shoes on their feet. Real talk. I don't care what them other fools is about. On the Tim Black Show, we calling it out. Salute.
Ain't nothing more ugly than pretty lies.
Tell the truth. Real talk, baby. Call it out. Calling it out. Now.
Real talk, baby. Call it out. Calling it out. Now.
Listen, kids. It's a big club. And you ain't in it.
We're live on the Tim Black table. Welcome. Good to see you. My name is Tim Black. You're tuned in to the show for Sunday. It is a very important show. I'm glad that you could make it. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad you got the notification. A lot of people don't get notifications for my shows. It's kind of crazy how that works. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to welcome my people from the Tim Black VIP Club. This will be the hardest show of my life. And yet I feel compelled to do it many, many years ago. In 1990, a young lady was born to a young couple who met in high school. She was a big baby when she was born, 8 pounds, 8 ounces. She was born to a young couple, as I stated, who weren't prepared at all for what they were in store, but man, were they ready to go when it happened. They formed a family, they built a unit, and they learned along the way. The man learned to be a man through the trials of fire that we all experience as we grow up. But being just barely 20, it was difficult. And that goes double for the mom. I mean, mom was barely 20, and they were both struggling. We're not talking about just struggling. I mean, we got all types of struggle. We got struggle as being parents for the first time with, obviously, not a whole lot of experience, none. And then we also had financial struggles, which I'm sure you can relate to. But we pulled our resources together as best we could to try to make a home for our new bouncing baby girl. We were very happy and very stressed and very happy and very blessed. And she grew. And she grew. And at the time, not having much money, we lived in areas that were, you know, we lived in some neighborhoods that were kind of tough. And being that we were young, you probably made some decisions that weren't always the best decisions. At the time, it looks like a good decision, and later you find out maybe not such a great decision, but that's how you learn life. And as first children go, they have to be very adaptable to their struggling parents, their naive parents, their just learning green parents. And she was. She was amazingly smart and bright and optimistic and funny. Great sense of humor. She got it from her dad. She was beautiful. She got that from her mother. She was tall. She got that from her dad. Yeah, we named it Jasmine because I think it was my choice, actually. I just loved that name, man. I thought it was that flower that just, at the time back in 1990, that was like a new thing. It wasn't as popular a name. It grew in popularity. One of those names that grew in popularity as time went on, at least I felt. I never met a Jasmine until we had our Jasmine. And I got a picture of her. Here goes our Jasmine here. Here she is with me. You can tell that's my daughter. Ain't no denying that. That's my baby. That's Jasmine. And in her arms is my grandbaby, Nadia, who's only, in this picture, I think she was just maybe 13 months. I don't know. Less than a year, I think. A little less than a year, like 9, 10 months. Now she's a little less than 2 years. We were on a trip. And that's me and my daughter there, Jasmine, and I. And my birthdays are very close together. Mine is August 13th, hers was August 8th. Two Leo babies who clashed a lot. I guess we were too much alike. That's what she used to always say. Dad, we just so much alike. That's why we beef. We beef because we're so much alike. Nobody want to give in. And, I got to admit that I was tough. I was tough. But see, Mrs. Black is the sweetest. So it worked out because you got your heavy person that says, hey, you need to do this. Go do this now. And we got the, what do you think? Don't you think you should do that? What do you think, person? And it's a great mix. At times, you got to be tough and firm. At times, you got to be more sensitive. And we were a great mix for that. But, you know, raising kids is not easy, and we had our bumps and bruises and hard times with it. And I guess as we grew the family, as other kids came into the family, things changed. Oldest children often get pushed to the background just due to the necessity to focus on the younger child. And that was when my first son was born. His name is TJ. And there was a point, there was a pivotal point where things started happening, where Jasmine started missing school. And started hanging out with crowds, that people that enjoyed doing things that just weren't all that positive. And we fought like hell, man, to try to reel her back in, trying to get her back on the steady roads. You know what I'm saying? When those influences become is impressionable, even more impressionable, more important, more prioritized in the lives of your child than you are, which was crazy. I tell you, man, the 13s, 14s, 15s, somewhere around there, it's like we lost the ability for her to understand that the only people that love you in this world are the people that live within your doors. And if there's any young people watching, if there's any old people watching who need to remember that, please do. So, hard times, man, hard times being young parents trying to pull the daughter from the streets and pull her from the friends that were doing the things that it shouldn't be doing. And I don't know what it is, but my baby, she was idolizing all the wrong things, man. All the wrong things. But she had so much promise. Sometimes I thought she did it because she had such a stable background with parents. I mean, such a support system. I always thought maybe it was just too much support, you know, where you think you can get away with anything, you just do what you want. No, when my parents got me, my parents got me, my parents got me. It went like that for a while, you know, it went like that. It went like that for a while, but we did our best to try to maintain the family structure to keep us together, and we did. I mean, she stayed with us for a long time. All I can say is that you lose once the world, once outside influences take over the control of your child, it becomes something that's unmanageable for parents. It's like, what are you going to do? I mean, legally, you can't make someone do something. You can't make someone listen to you. You can't make a child listen to you. You can't make a child go to school. You can't. What can you do? You can't make them focus. You can't make them put down the weed. You can't make them not hang out with older kids or even adults. It's like so much you gotta fight and pull. And you don't want to press charges on your child. It was everything. It was a mess. It was all those things. I don't know if anybody can relate to how hard it is to raise a teenager in environments like that where it's just the music and the culture of just do what you want to do. You only live once, YOLO, and all that shit is going on. And you are just trying to love them. You're trying to love them as best you can love them and trying to save them from themselves. And they, well, Jazz went on to make some babies. She gave me the best gift you could give a dad is not one, not two, but three grandchildren. Well, first came Naomi. That's my oldest. Then came Lala. So right now, Naomi's 12. Lala's 5. And Nadia, will be 2 in a week. And she gave us those babies in our lives, and that was amazing. But I don't think she realized that she was still my baby. You know? Because that never changes. No matter how much the stress, the bumping of heads, no matter how much that goes on, you are loved, man. And you are never too big. You are never too old. You are always our children. And we love you. It didn't take long before my baby was hooked on drugs. At first it was denial, like, what's going on? It's just weed, right? That's all it is. And maybe it was in the beginning, but that changes over time, man. For some people, not all people, but for some people it changes over time. But my baby Jazz, man, she was so tough, man, and she would fight to try to get out of that addiction. She went to rehab, go check in rehab. We keep the kids. She get cleaned up. She get better. She do better. She start thinking, working towards her goals of accomplishing so many things. That's what she wanted to do, you know? And that's what was important to her. Taking care of her kids, you know? Being an example for her kids and always looking for love. Always looking for love. That was one thing. Always such a big heart. And always loved her friends so much. All her friends. And I tell her, baby, stop being so, these people don't know you. Don't know them. You haven't known them more than 2 minutes. And you would talk about you got to do this and do that for your friends. What about you, baby? What about you? Sound like I was a broken record because my mom used to tell me that when I was with Mrs. Black. Before Mrs. Black was Mrs. Black. That's what she would tell me. So I know where she got that from, where your heart's bigger in your damn brain. And that's, and there were times we didn't know she was, we didn't know what she was doing. Then she'd come back and she'd be Miss Optimistic all over again. Well, Thursday, I'm talking to my wife, we're texting back and forth about some stuff, and she's on this commuter bus on the way back to the parking ride. And she just types the words, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I didn't know what that meant, but I knew I need to stop everything I'm doing. Actually, I was prepping to do a show. I want to Launch my new show during the week. I want to do more content. I need to work. I got to do it. I got to take care of my family. And I got this text saying, oh, my God. So I call it, and my wifey, I couldn't understand what she was saying, man. I could not understand anything. She was sobbing, and she was breathing really close to the phone. And I'm up here. I'm going crazy. I'm thinking that she is in an active shooter situation. Where are you at that you can't talk, that the phone is so close to your mouth that you can't talk and I can't understand you? What's going on? Where are you? And that's what she told me. She said she's been contacted and told that Jasmine took something and she's gone. And we need to go to her apartment and the police are there. So I go pick up Mrs. Black, my wife. I pick her up from the station. She explains what they told her, and I'm denial, like, what the hell, whatever. She was just in a program, literally just in a program, the first program of programs, and she was going to go to the second program for 60 days. She went to the first program, it was 3 weeks, and the next program is 60 days. We got the kids, you take care of you, go do what you got to do. No one made her go to these programs. She doesn't want. She goes on her own. She went to the program on her own. We don't have the kids through court order. She gives us the kids. Hey, thank you. I got to get better. I got to get cleaned up. This is not right. And she goes. And she was supposed to go to the next program. So this can't be true. So we get to the apartment, and the police officer's in the apartment, and some dude I don't even know was there. Mrs. Black said she talked to, known that this was this guy that she wasn't really a boyfriend, but somebody that she spent time with. He was there and he told us. About 1:30, Jasmine came home. She went to sleep about 1:30. She tossed a little bit, but that was it. She was fine. He woke up the next morning. He said she wouldn't wake up. He couldn't wake her up. She wouldn't wake up. He calls 911. The paramedics come. There's nothing to do. There's no resuscitation possible. She gone. No one knows why. Exactly. Now, what we know was drugs. We don't know exactly what. I think it was heroin, opiates, or fentanyl. Say, can I go back and see my baby? I gotta see this. You can't see this. You gotta wait for the homicide detective and forensics to come. I gotta control the scene till they get here. So we stood there, we waited. And I had to listen to this guy tell me all matter of dumb shit talking. I don't want to hear what you got to say, man. You had a man anyway. Forensics comes. Very cordially, very, very professional. They come in, they say, so sorry for your loss. Let me first start off with that, my brother. I'm so sorry for your loss. And I'm at a movie right now because this is unbelievable to me. I can't imagine this. What is this? You sorry for my loss? What? There has been no loss. You guys are tripping. Jasmine, get your ass up. Come on out here. Stop playing with these people. That's what I wanted to say, but I knew. She was alive. She would have got up already. Folks, these opiates are taken. You know, she wrote a book about this. I never told anybody because it was so embarrassing because it was a heartbreaker. But she wrote a book telling about her stories, a book of poems about everything she had been going through with this addiction and how it had taken control of her existence. Like the tentacles of hell are pulling her under the ground while still alive, burying her. She could see the sun, but she can't get to it. She can't get free. She said that those drugs, once they got a hold of her, that was it. And she's going to keep fighting, keep fighting, keep fighting. I thought the book was premature. I've heard about these things. I understand that when you have an addiction, you're going to suffer with that addiction your entire life. But if that makes you feel good to write about your troubles as if they're in the past, maybe that's will over matter. You got to will yourself. I couldn't bring myself to read some of the chapters that she described the way she was living her life. Couldn't do it, man. Still can't. I've looked at a couple passages, but not the whole thing. I can't do it. I'm sitting there wondering why they're not locking up this guy that was there. Well, there's no signs of foul play, Tim. You've covered this. You've covered these stories. There's no signs of foul play. No one kneeled on her neck. No one sat on her back. There's no contusions. There's no breaking and entering. It's people being adults and doing what they want to do. It's people taking drugs without knowing what exactly is in this. What is in it? That's what people do. They die. Do you know that fentanyl, in some reports are saying in some states is the number one cause of death? Fentanyl overdoses. Number one. Particularly for those under the age of 45. My daughter was 33, three kids. The waves of grief that wash over you, man. The shock, the hoping that this is just a dream, I'm going to wake up. This is a trip. Can't be real. Here's the deal, guys, for all my friends out there. In just 6 years, fentanyl has become the prominent driver of opiate overdose deaths, going from causing about 20% of fatal opiate overdoses in 2016 to causing almost all of them, 92% in 2022. Another stat, the District of Columbia, which is where my daughter lived, has close to 400 opiate-related deaths per year, contributing to the third largest opiate mortality rate in the country with 34.7 deaths per 100,000 compared to the national average of 14.6, folks. What I'm trying to tell you is this is a catastrophe. And it's not being discussed like that. You know, I talked to my wife about, talked to Mrs. Black about doing this show, on this topic, because, I mean, it's private stuff. It's a private matter to talk about the death of your child. But it was an accident. Believe me, my daughter is too drama queenish. She loves her babies too much to leave without saying something. Know that shit. She's going to call up her daughters and talk to them first or whatever. She would never have done this. She would have let me off the hook. She got to still terrorize me. Give me problems. Give me grief. Give me more gray hair than I cover over with this Just For Men shit. She knows I love her. She knows her mother loves her. She knows she has love. She has support. There are people without support, without parents to watch the kids while you go to rehab, to pick you up, to give you the vehicle, to help you out, to give you call up and get to have backup, to have support, a kind word, and always, always Mrs. Black with the baby, you just got to turn this corner, and you know what's laying on the other side is so much better. You're going to be okay. Just got to do this, work the program and just trust and know and believe in yourself. This is a catastrophe. This is an epidemic. And ain't nobody talking about this shit. Instead, what we're talking about is RFK, garbage. Marianne Williams, garbage. That's what we're talking about. I should even know Dean Phillips' fucking name. And what have I been doing? Spending, wasting all of my time talking about politics when real shit's going on. I'm now part of this club, this horrible club that I didn't want entry to. I don't want this membership card. Y'all can have this shit. I don't want the Lost a Child membership card. But they don't ask you. You wanted to just give it to you. Me and my wife are part of that club now. And I said, damn, should I even talk about this? Do people deserve to know my pain? Backstabbing sons of bitches don't deserve to know that. They still worried about, is he getting more views than me? Is he the only black the white's going to love on the left and all this other shit? Did he vote for Tulsi Gabbard? Shut up. Sorry. I thought I used to point at Bernie. Motherfucker, there are real things going on. My child died. And I got you up here talking. Stop talking about class. Talk about black people. Don't talk about this. Don't talk about that. We're going to talk about this tonight. Opiates take everybody, man. Drugs don't have no name or no bullet. There is no color on those motherfuckers. And if you take the wrong one, see ya. And it don't matter if you're a good person or a bad person, in between. Don't matter if you're working on your nursing degree, working as a cosmetologist, or if you are a son or a daughter of a prominent actor or actress. It's adios. So I said, damn, should I talk about this? Well, you know what? If I lost a child to gun violence or police brutality, I'd be talking about it. Yeah. Then you talk about your baby. You share it with the world. And you let them know that this fentanyl shit is real, that this drugs overdoses are real. And I know Joe Biden ain't talking about it. Kamala ain't talking about it. And I know when people do talk about it, they use it for their own devices. They use it to get votes. I got one side saying, well, it's the border and it's the illegal immigrants coming across the border with it, it's bringing it. Truth is, a lot of Americans are crossing the border and they don't get searched. And they're bringing it. More of them. 8 out of 10 of the confiscated drugs that are crossing the border are 5 from Americans who are crossing the border. But we only search like 2%, 0.2% of Americans crossing the border because we trust them. So yeah, it's a border problem because we ain't manufacturing this. The supplies come from China and Mexico. But the actual traffickers, the actual people bringing it across, most of the time, usually, American citizens. Then there wasn't the court. But it's still a border issue. And it's so funny. Tim, we don't need to talk about Palestinians. We don't need to talk about that. Why are we talking about that? Why are you wasting that time? Because the money that can spit funding Israel to bomb those people into the Stone Age and back again could be spent saving my motherfucking daughter, dog. And if you don't care, if you care about where Ukraine money's going, and if you care if immigrants are coming here and getting $10 million, $10,000 a month, whatever the hell extreme amount of money that they're getting from our states, you should care about money that's not going to our communities, to our drug programs, to our border safety, to search those white people and black people, American citizens coming across that border with that shit. Breaking Bad is a lie. They ain't the ones doing it. They some old-ass science teacher and this wayward student producing all the fucking meth. In fact, fentanyl and opiates have passed meth. It's passed. Just fun facts. Maybe not as glamorous as talking about RFK's latest flub with Israel, his latest goofy response, dead-eyed response about fucking genocide, or Mary Ann's air-headed, dumb, aloof, above-it-all bullshit. Joe Biden's stuttering nonsense, drooling, pathetic, or Trump's BS, used car salesman routine, I got your back bullshit. But he's saying stop the immigrants. I just told you, 80% of the time, it's American citizens that are carrying it. Sort of like with black folks. See how everything's connected? When you only pull over black folks driving, you only get black folks with drugs. They ain't pulling over the American white folks who crossing the border either. They ain't pulling them over when they drive, and they ain't pulling them over when they fly. So you don't catch who you don't pull over. And that's where you got the problem. And that's why my baby's dead. Was also dead because she got hooked on a drug she just never took. I get that. I understand that. You shouldn't eat cheeseburgers. And I'm just saying, this is a big turning point. This right here. Other than the fact I'm devastated, I will never recover. I'll never be who I was ever again. I'm over 50 with 3 kids under 12. Now, I love them and I'm their granddad, but I'm not supposed to be dad. Daddy, pop, pop, dad, again. But I got to be, and I'm glad to be, and I'm stepping up, and that's what I'm going to be. But I hear more about somebody's freaking pronouns, the politically correct way to address somebody who's changed their pronouns or is a floating gender, 1% of the population, than I hear about the number one killer of American citizens. And we don't even want to talk about the disproportionate amount of black American citizens that are dying from fentanyl overdoses. We want to talk about something else instead. Tory Lanez, did he shoot Megan? Inquiring minds want to know. So, yeah, we'll cover politics, but we're going to cover real life stuff on this channel, things that matter, things that impact our lives, our pocketbooks, our wallets, our ability to raise our kids indoors, the safety to keep them safe, to build families, to sustain families. And we'll also call out politics as well. But never to the extent that I've been doing it. What the hell have I been doing? And my door's open to everybody. It's open to anybody who wants to come through and listen to some real shit. Because you know what we're not going to do? We're not going to focus on frivolous matters. Oh, my God, Coors Light. It has this trans person that's received a case of beer as promotion to promote a brand that's going to make millions and unfortunately for them, they lost a lot of more money than millions. They lost like $1 billion. Stock price dropped through the bottom because we're so focused on gender wars and who's a what's a man and what's a woman. And you know, come on, you know what, guys? It's all bullshit. You know, it's all bullshit. It's a lie. And you can be whatever you want to be. You can call yourself a plane. I don't give a shit. But I don't have to agree with it, and I don't have to co-sign it. And I'm tired of Democrats trying to tell me what's right to feel, what's right to think, and what's right to know. I want to know why we can't fix the fentanyl crisis. I want to know why we got these overdoses going on, it's happening, then why my daughter is gone. That's what I want to know. That's what I want to talk about. I don't want to talk about it. And you know what? I don't have time. I don't have time. Your horse race bullshit. It's destroying all of us at every turn is what it's doing, folks. This is a very big club. It's a very humongous club of parents, spouses, siblings who feel exactly how I feel. Powerless. Powerless. There was nothing I could do then, there's nothing I could do now. You close your eyes and all you see is me teaching her to ride a bike or the first snow, her first dress. Not a bad person, a beautiful person. A loving mom. Just sick. And had an accident. Battling depression and who knows what else. They won't get an opportunity to say, do anything, live her life, make the mistakes I made and correct them and do better. Won't have the opportunity. Gone. Forever gone. You know, people tell me, yo, Tim Black, you got to focus on this and focus on that. See, I have a problem, guys. I've been around the bend too long. I've seen too many things. They want you to believe it's a one-size-fits-all and everything's either black or white. But I actually saw a white guy save a black man's life. The same white guy who I wanted to punch in the mouth or hit with a baseball bat, called me a nigga in jest, as if it was something cool to say. And the other white friends were like, hey, man, he's just a redneck from down here. He don't know what he's saying. He don't mean nothing by it. That's just what he was told all his life. And then I saw him 12 hours later go jump into a lake and save a black man who was a friend of mine, save his life. My friend was shitting all over himself. He was dying. He was middle drowning. I wasn't good enough for swimming to get him. But that redneck dove and swam all the way up and all the way back. My friend who was embarrassed as hell, had to change his underwears, but was happy to be alive. So I actually saw that and witnessed that. I know you may not have ever seen that. Maybe you never know. Maybe there are people that don't know these things. Yeah, so for every Tamir Rice shit I know, there's people that aren't as bad, like, you know, every shit cop that shoots a kid in the fucking head. Or the fact that I know that they shot Andy Lopez, who was 13 years old, with a play gun. Shot him, too. No one talked about Andy. I talked about him. I talked about Andy Lopez out of, what is it? We're in California, some town in California. I covered it 9 years ago. Broad daylight, playing with a toy gun. They shot him in his fucking head and killed him. No marches for him either. Yeah, I know I shouldn't even care about Andy Lopez. It's a shame. I even know his name. Why? Because he ain't black, so why should I care, right? Because that's the narrative. Everybody got to stay on their side of the lane, and if you give a fuck or are knowledgeable about anything other than just what's in your lane, somehow that's going to fix something. But it's not fixing anything. We're still dying. We're still dying. We're still homeless, the most overdoses, the most everything bad, and the bottom of everything good. And yes, I know what happened to George Floyd. Walter Scott, I know exactly what happened. That's some horrible shit. I also know cops killed Tony Tipper and dumped his ass in the ditch and lied to his mom and said they found him that way, but they killed him. They sat on his chest for 12 minutes and killed him the same way George Floyd was killed and didn't do a fucking day. You know, I know the story of Christian Adamack, who was, 15 years old? He, about the same time the movie Old School came out. You know, Old School with Will Ferrell. Funny as shit. He goes back to college when he was in his 40s. Frank the Tank. Remember that? And he's like, one of the pranks they did when he was back in college, he wanted to reenact it, is when you take your clothes off and you go streaking. Some of you white kids know what I'm talking about. White people literally took their clothes off and ran down the street or ran down the courtyard or some shit. This was like, I don't know, early 2000s? I don't know, but it was a funny movie. Well, anyway, I guess that's where Christian Adam got the idea today. We should do this at the football game. Let's go streak. Let me streak across the football field. I'll do it if you dare me. You owe me a case of beer. He said, yeah, that'd be a good deal. Yeah, we dare you, Christian. We dare you. So he does it. He jumps down at halftime or whatever. Whatever point of the game. What halftime? Couldn't be halftime, Tim. No one cares if you do it at halftime. He did it at some point. He takes his clothes off. He darts across the football field. They tackle his ass at some point. And they arrest him. And they charge him as a child predator because he exposed himself to children who happened to be in the audience at his own high school football game. He didn't know. He wasn't thinking that there were kids there. But since they saw his pearly whites and his pink butt, he charged him as a child molester. He had to register as a sex offender. He lost his scholarship to college and ruined his life, and he hung himself and killed himself for that. Now, some people would think that would be something that only would happen to a black kid in a white town by some white-ass racist. But it happened in a black town. I mean, in a white town. Huntsville, Alabama, actually. Very white. Very red. They did that to a white kid. Why? Because they don't give a shit. So when I say, if you ain't got money, you fucked. That's what I'm talking about, dummy. When I said that, I said it because I know things you don't know. You watch too much MSNBC, CNN. Though you say you hate them, you believe these narratives that makes you think bad things only happen to us. They happen to everyone. And they happen to us more often. But I know that story. I covered that. You can go see it right now. You won't, though. It says you'll sit and comment and tell me how we need to focus on other shit. You know what? Focus on kissing my ass. Because you don't know anything and you want to be dumb and you're part of the reason why we stay this way. And guess what? My daughter still did. She's 33. And welcome to being granddad, dad number two. Welcome. Welcome to losing your child. To a grief thing just keeps on coming and going. And I'm good right now. This is the good side. This is the still shocks. I got a feeling it gets much worse. Maybe the fact that for the rest of my life, on my birthday, 5 days before, and I'll be having the pleasure of thinking that my daughter is gone. So we know these things. And we also know about Tamir Rice and Breonna Taylor and Tatiana Jefferson and all the other black folks who have been slain brutally. Have lost their lives over bullshit. This racist-ass garbage system. But I want to change the system, so it's a couple things. We're going to talk about the opiate epidemic. We're going to talk about the things that take our lives, the things that's killing us. We're going to talk about the injustices. And we're going to talk about sloppy politicians, too. But we ain't going to waste our time going over a bunch of polls and shit. Joe Biden sucks. God help us if we get him again. We're going to talk about things that parents are struggling with. We're going to talk about what's going on with the culture, what's going on with the world, what's impacting us, how it's impacting us. And hopefully we can get to some solutions. Hopefully I'll be able to bring on some people that know more than me. You know, aren't Biden tended. We're going to talk about this one thing all the time. And if we don't talk about that, then we ain't got nothing else to talk about. Because us talking about it is not going to get us to it. And I've covered it all. So what's the new day, Johnson? Funny how that's being used by so many all of a sudden. But it is the new day. It literally is the new day around this mofo. And you can bet your money on that. Neither party wants to address the issues that are really taking our lives. The lack of health care, the lack of access. When I say access, actually carte blanche to go in anywhere you want and get your treatment. My daughter struggled like fuck. You know how hard it is. They knew she was sick. They still let her go. There's no hold on her. There's no stopping. Back and forth, back and forth. They don't care. They didn't care. No one cares. Hell, the detective couldn't even remember my name in a 15-minute conversation because he had so many people die from the same thing. It just all runs together. And I couldn't even be mad at him because that's the reality of his life. He's a black man. I'm a black man. He looked me dead in the eye. He apologized. He didn't mean it. But he know damn well my name ain't Joe. That's the last father you just gave bad news to. I said, wow, why is it taking so long for the medical examiner to get back to me? He said, I'm going to be honest with you, Mr. Black. She didn't get off till 4 a.m. She's been here 14, 16, 18 hours. She just walked in. I'll tell her you're at the head of the line. We got so many bodies. We're so backed up. We're so overwhelmed. We're going through hell. But I apologize, and she'll be right back at you as soon as possible. Because you're this long line now, this horrible membership. You're part of a crew. It's a big club, and your ass is in it. It's the I lost my baby, my child, my son, my Jasmine. To this shit. Meanwhile, let's talk about, I don't know, Trump's toupee. Is that his real hair? Yeah, let's talk about that for about 800,000 minutes every day for 25, 34 months. Let's keep talking about this. Giuliani told some people they didn't do their job correctly. Yeah, okay, you say it's important. I don't have to watch this shit. Why are you not talking about what's going on with our water, air, babies, our kids, these drugs, our border, the schools, our money? Fuck. Because it's more interesting and more eyeballs go to the other shit. Because they've planted in our heads these lies and these things that do nothing but divide us from the real stuff, the real issues. Now I get it, not everybody's going to ride for me in my family and people that look like me to ride from enslaved people in this country to work till they dropped for nothing. Zero pay. Zero recomps. Build nothing. Then we did build something. Jealous whites who were mad that we were building faster than them came and burnt down our shit and took it, ran us off, and took our land by force. But I know you don't. I know a lot of people don't care about that story. They don't care about me getting those reparations. There's still a whole trail load of other shit that's more important. Did John Fetterman, if he wore a suit, or if Santos lied on his mama? So fuck covering that. Well, that's what the viewership is. So for all you parents out there, man, who are going through anything close to what I'm going through, guys, I just want you to know I feel your pain. And I know exactly where you are. It's a club nobody wants to be in. Maybe nobody gets to choose to leave. You don't choose to join and you don't get to leave. And you're here till you die. I love you, Jasmine. I always did. I just wanted so much for you, and I did not want that poison to do what it did, because I believe and always have believed that good things happen to good people too. And bullets ain't got no name, and neither do overdoses. But that's okay. So I'm not going to hate you over it. I'm going to love you still. Because I know you didn't want it. didn't want this. You didn't want that. You wrote about it. You wrote long poetry about what did it get over it? What did it get past it? And it just calling you. For so if so, the people that understand. It's the strongest lure imaginable. Kind of clickbait you can't unclick. So, yeah, I'm sorry I'm not covering any other news story tonight. I will be back this week, though, with some stuff. With the new show, Calling It Out with Tim Black. I think that is more along the lines of something that I can really get behind, you know? Calling It Out with Tim Black. Looking at hypocrisy where it is, lies where it is, deceit where it is, whether it be culture, whether it be in politics, wherever it is, and calling that shit out. Calling out the lying-ass media. Like a watchdog on all this bullshit. And then focusing us on the shit that really matters. Shit that really matters. I gotta take something from this. Other than a fucking membership card. You understand? I can't read comments tonight because I don't want to look. What if people troll and just say, I know I'm not in the mental space where I can handle that with the type of grace that would befit such a moment. But if you know where I'm coming from, if you understand what I'm saying at all, I don't make enough money to focus on shit that don't matter no more to please anyone. And I don't make enough money to lie to you. Leave that to the MSNBC and CNN and the other well-paid independent media people who make a lot of money to lie to you about shit. I make just enough to keep it a buck with you, to keep it real with you, and to tell you what's going on. Number one killer is not, oh my God, this person can't find whatever the shit. Or, a trans person's going to wrestle or run track. Oh no, what bathroom will they pee in? Oh no, Black Lives Matter took money. So did the DuPonts. So did the Pentagon. All right, my name is Real Tim Black. You know where to find me, Tim at TimBlackTV.com. My condolences to anybody who overly relates to this conversation, who relates to it because they're living it. That's all I got, man. I love you, Jasmine. I always will. That's it.
Calling It Out with Tim Black. The whole world's so sad. We live us so bad because we don't get who we stab. Try and get that bag.
Facts.
Calling It Out with Tim Black. Facts. Facts.
It won't tell the truth.
These are facts.
Check your bank account, baby. That's your proof.
They so aloof. They living so elite. They don't give up by the street. But them babies, they got to eat.
Real talk.
Put shoes on their feet. Real talk. I don't care what them other fools is about. On the Tim Black Show, we calling it out. Salute.
Ain't nothing more ugly than pretty lies.
Tell the truth. Real talk, baby. Call it out. Calling it out. Now.
Real talk, baby. Call it out. Calling it out. Now.
Listen, kids. It's a big club. And you ain't in it.